Welcome everyone to Cochrane ISN podcast today, which will be on a Cochrane review on the interventions for fatigue in people with kidney failure requiring dialysis. Fatigue is a common symptom amongst people with kidney failure and is associated with an increased risk of death, cardiovascular disease, depression, and impaired quality of life. The cause of fatigue in people with kidney failure requiring dialysis is complex and is related to uremia, anemia, inflammation, fluid shifts, and metabolic abnormalities. The prevalence of fatigue ranges from 40 to 90% in people requiring dialysis, and accordingly is recognized as a core outcome in the Standardized Outcomes in Nephrology or SONG initiative for hemodialysis. However, clinical practice guidelines such as KDIGO and KDOQI do not make any recommendations on the management of fatigue in people with chronic kidney disease or kidney failure. To address this uncertainty, a Cochrane review was conducted to summarize the benefits and harms of pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions that have been evaluated for their impact on fatigue in people with dialysis. This systematic review was published in 2023 and included 94 randomized controlled trials with over 8,000 participants. On this podcast today, we're joined by the review's first author, Dr. Patrizia Natale. Patrizia is a research fellow at the University of Sydney in Australia and a senior lecturer at the University of Foggia in Italy. She's an expert in both quantitative and qualitative studies in nephrology. Welcome, Patrizia.
Thanks for inviting me today. As you have noted, fatigue is common and debilitating in people on dialysis, and both physiological factors such as anemia and treatment-related factors, including dialysis frequency or modality, have been shown to affect fatigue. Through the SONG initiative, patients, caregivers, and health professionals recently identified fatigue as a core outcome to be reported in trials in people receiving hemodialysis. Given its importance, therefore, we did this review on the interventions for fatigue in people with kidney failure requiring dialysis to understand what interventions are effective in improving fatigue. There was already some evidence that both pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions may improve fatigue. For example, some studies have shown that erythropoietin-stimulating agents, diet, exercise, reflexology, and aromatherapy may all help, and that more frequent and longer dialysis treatment may reduce post-dialysis fatigue and improve general well-being. We aim to evaluate the effects of pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions on fatigue in people with kidney failure receiving both hemodialysis and peritoneal dialysis, including any setting and frequency on the dialysis treatment.
Excellent. Thank you for that summary. Before we delve into the findings of this review, I thought it would be important for our listeners just to outline the specific populations and types of interventions that were included in this review.
Yes. We have included both adults and children with kidney failure receiving any form of dialysis. The dialysis treatment could be performed both in the clinic and at home at any frequency. We included randomized controlled trials that are used both pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions to manage fatigue.
Excellent. And since we're focusing on interventions for fatigue, was there a way this was defined? And are these measures validated in our dialysis patients?
Fatigue, you have to know that, has been reported as a subjective state of tiredness and exhaustion, and the reduction of capacity of normal activity. However, in the context of chronic illness, there is no common accepted definition due to the variability of factors affecting fatigue as experienced by different patients. In this study, a clear definition for fatigue has not been provided, so we reported it according to author's definition, including self-reported fatigue. There were 18 different measures used to report fatigue, but only one of them was validated in the dialysis setting.
Wow, thanks for giving scope on the heterogeneity of, I guess, definitions of fatigue that were included in the studies. How about the study population of those included studies? I just wanted to see whether it was representative of an average dialysis patient, though I know that means something different to different viewers or different listeners.
We have included both patients with kidney failure undergoing hemodialysis and peritoneal dialysis to be as much inclusive as possible. We found 94 studies involving more than 8,000 adults, but no study has been performed in children. The median study age was 56 years.
Oh, excellent. So maybe at least in my setting, a little bit younger than average patient, but I'm definitely not completely unrepresentative. I guess given the scope of pharmacological and non-pharmacological studies that were included, can you give us an outline of what the main types of interventions were that were included or seen in the included studies?
We considered any intervention affecting levels of self-reported fatigue in patients on dialysis. We have included 29 interventions, including both pharmacological treatments such as corticosteroids, beta blockers, erythropoietin stimulating agents, and non-pharmacological treatments such as nutrition, therapeutic exercise, alternative and complementary medicine like acupressure, massage, and aromatherapy, or psychosocial interventions, for example, coping strategies and stress management.
Oh, excellent. Thanks for that overview. There's definitely a lot of different interventions that were studied throughout the included studies. And what was the rough kind of study duration and follow-up time?
Study follow-up varied across the included studies. It ranged from 1 week to 22 months.
Wow, that's quite the range there. Okay, so finally, let's delve into what your key findings were, given how broad and comprehensive this review was.
Considering the evidence as well, the findings of this review suggest that exercise, aromatherapy, massage, and acupressure may improve fatigue in comparison to placebo or standard care. Due to paucity of studies, the effects of other pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions on fatigue, including relaxation with or without music therapy, nutritional supplementation, cognitive behavioral therapy, erythropoietin stimulating agents, beta blockers, anabolic steroids, or frequent hemodialysis session were very uncertain. Moreover, the information about the effects of both pharmacological and non-pharmacological treatments on other outcomes, including that cardiovascular diseases, vascular access, and quality of life, was sparse, and there were insufficient data to be sure about these effects.
No, thank you for that summary. So interestingly, it was more of the non-pharmacological interventions that appeared to maybe have an effect that our listeners and clinicians such as myself may not be as familiar with. Can you briefly kind of outline the quality or the evidence certainty that surrounds these summaries?
Although we have included 94 studies with more than 8,000 participants, the quality of the evidence assessed using the grade approach was low or very low due to imprecision, small sample sizes, and low event rates. Some studies were at high or unclear risk of bias for most of the risk of bias domains assessment. The majority of studies did not report adequate blinding, attrition, or selective reporting, and some received some funding from pharmaceutical companies. We have also to note that the studies came from several countries and fatigue was assessed using different tools, for example, FACIT-F questionnaire or fatigue subscale as part of measure assessing a broader construct like SF-36 or visual analog scale, in a wide range of heterogeneous interventions, which limited our ability to pull and meta-analyze the data.
Excellent. No, thank you for that. And I do appreciate this is an important topic, and this was a very comprehensive review, but obviously included such a wide range of interventions and lots of trials. how would you help the listener summarize how your findings might influence clinical decisions for treating at least adults with kidney failure requiring maintenance dialysis?
Our review shows that exercise aromatherapy, massage and acupressure may be effective in improving fatigue in people on dialysis, but the effects of pharmacological and non-pharmacological interventions generally on other outcomes, including death, vascular access and quality of life, remain uncertain. This means that relevant clinical outcomes were rarely available for many of the included studies. Since the certainty of evidence was low or very low for all outcomes, fatigue, it's possible that future studies might provide different results. The variability in reporting methods of some outcomes hampered data synthesis by meta-analysis, and this limited number of events for death and cardiovascular outcomes prevented the exploration of other potential sources of heterogeneity in the analysis. In addition, subgroup and sensitivity analysis could not be done to explore heterogeneity owing to insufficient data. Adequately powered high-quality studies or on the efficacy of interventions might improve fatigue in people undergoing dialysis and are needed to resolve this. To date, there is no evidence to inform decision-making in children, and evidence is largely lacking in peritoneal dialysis.
No, thank you for that. I think it is difficult to use some of this data given the heterogeneity of the definitions of fatigue and also the uncertainty of the data generally. So definitely higher quality evidence is required moving forward. But I guess for those that may be interested in looking into exercise, aromatherapy, massage and acupuncture or acupressure, on patients that are quite debilitated by their fatigue, is there data in your from your review to suggest the amounts of time that they need to do these interventions for, and whether this might pose additional time commitments for people that already use up a lot of their life doing dialysis?
Well, based on the available data, the administration and frequency of the interventions varied across studies. However, ideally, exercise, aromatherapy, massage, and acupressure could be administered 3 times a week for at least 3 months to not be much intrusive or burdensome in patients' life.
No, absolutely. I think that's an important balance to have. And it doesn't seem like they were very prescriptive on the time for each session, those 3 times a week. So moving on, these are the exercise, aromatherapy, massage, and acupressure that may improve fatigue aren't naturally interventions I associate with ARMS, but just wanted to see if there were any reported adverse events from the literature.
Adverse events were rarely and inconsistently reported, and that prevented our capacity to pull the available data.
Yeah, I think that's another thing moving forward. Hopefully trials in the future of these kind of interventions would be more rigorous and standardized in reporting any adverse outcome data as well. So I guess we're going on to the part of our discussion where we kind of see what comes out of this review in terms of questions for future research groups and evidence gaps that hopefully can be addressed. I guess being the first author and sifting through the data yourself, what would your key kind of research questions identified by this review be?
The big evidence gap that we have to address is the lack of standard outcomes reporting in the included studies. The Sang Initiative has identified the core outcomes that should be reported in trials in hemodialysis. The core outcome set includes mortality, cardiovascular disease, vascular access, and fatigue as a patient-reported outcome known as PROM. These outcomes were rarely and inconsistently reported in this setting. To date, fatigue is still under-evaluated, under-reported, or assessed using a large variety of different tools. And a high heterogeneity in the fatigue-related outcomes definition has been provided by authors, preventing our capability to pull the data. The SUNG Working Group has also developed a tool specifically designed to evaluate fatigue in hemodialysis, and this can standardize reporting on this critical outcome in the dialysis setting. Another key point is that evidence is still lacking to assess fatigue in children or in people on peritoneal dialysis, and future research is needed on these specific populations.
No, thank you. I completely agree, having read your review as well, that I think what comes out of it is a need to definitely improve how we report fatigue in trials and hopefully include the core outcomes of the SONG initiative, outlined by the SONG initiative, in future trials as well. And that there is definitely evidence lacking as well in children and people on peritoneal dialysis. Is there anything on top from maybe a personal standpoint that you'd like to see in future trials in this space?
It is likely that some non-pharmacological interventions may be effective in improving fatigue in people on dialysis, but insufficient evidence has been reported on any pharmacological intervention. I think that with this review, we are now aware on the need to include fatigue as a priority topic for future research to improve clinical practice. To make this possible, randomized controlled trials should be powered and conducted using high methodological quality to improve confidence in our findings. Future studies should prioritize the SUNG core outcomes, as you said, focusing on what is relevant for stakeholders, including patients, caregivers, and health professionals.
No, I completely agree with your take on that, and also that non-pharmacological interventions may be more attractive for some of, at least certainly some of our patients, given that they often can be on many medications already, which may limit their desire to try further pharmacological intervention. So aside from randomized controlled trials, which is definitely the focus of this review, I came out of your review also thinking to myself that fatigue is a big problem. We need to report it better, and hopefully we can find better interventions for that. But that there's also, having treated patients on dialysis, that there's already substantial treatment burden on patients and as well as the healthcare system already. So I kind of thought, are you aware of literature looking into patient and clinician perspectives on managing fatigue in kidney failure specifically, and whether there's been any endeavor to evaluate cost effectiveness of any interventions for fatigue for kidney failure, knowing that this would depend often on the healthcare setting that's studied in?
Yes, a large systematic review of qualitative studies has been conducted by our group on patient perspective on the meaning and impact of fatigue in hemodialysis. The themes identified included debilitating and exhausting burden of treatment, restricted life participation, diminishing capacities to fulfill relationship roles, and vulnerable to misunderstanding. For our knowledge, no studies addressed patient or clinician's perspective on the management of fatigue related to the interventions used, and cost effectiveness of interventions for fatigue has not been evaluated yet.
No, thank you for that summary, especially delving outside of the immediate scope of this review. But yeah, I just recognize fatigue as such an important yet understudied and underappreciated, I think, topic. The links to these studies that you've referred to in this last response, but also I believe for the dialysis specific outcome measure to measure fatigue in hemodialysis patients, I think has been linked in the ISN website. That should be linked to this podcast. So for interested listeners, they can refer to that. But do you have anything else you wanted to say to our listeners? Otherwise, we might wrap this up.
Nothing else from my side. Thanks again for everything.
Yeah, and thank you everyone for listening. Hope you all have a good day. Bye.
Bye.